It's the film with three brains. 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 It's the film with three brains.
Oh my god, you guys are freaks.
Welcome to the film with three brains. I'm Sam in San Francisco.
Sean from Chicago.
And Cohen from Maplewood, New Jersey.
Sweet. All right, so our first movie that we're going to review is Twins, and the kind of the goal of reviewing these older movies was to see, like, one, are they worth going back and watching, or two, maybe if you didn't ever see them, because, you know, growing up in a small town, we pretty much saw the blockbusters and nothing else, is it worth going back and watching it? And I think for the third thing is just, you know, for a lot of people have kids now, and is it a movie that you need to, you know, force your kids to watch because you enjoyed it, or at least introduce them to it? And so I figured starting out with Twins was just a way to pick a movie that everybody knows Arnold Schwarzenegger, but nobody knows him for this, I would say. So it's like, is it worth digging into his, you want to call it, but backlog or catalog of movies to
maybe his B-sides, perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah. This might fall in that category.
Can we back up for just a second? I was not told there would be goals.
Well,
carry on.
All right. So so another couple things. Well, one is going back and look at this, you start to think about movies, you know, in a way different way. Like at the time, I never thought of like who a producer is, you know. I think we were like, you know, 13, 14 years old when this movie came out.
So yes,
we
weren't like 1988.
Yes, we had no concern. Like, but you know who produced this?
I do not.
It's Ivan Reitman. So that's means, well, Ghostbusters.
I mean, right. I thought you meant other than the director.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, well,
he was the producer and the director.
Right.
But no, it's like you see that name pop up, and now you're like, oh god, that guy did a ton of things. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, Ghostbusters, Meatball, Strife. You know, it's like, all right. So, you know, nowadays if an A-lister is making a movie, that automatically, you know, says, oh, maybe we should check that out, you know. And then, but back in that time, we didn't think that way.
Right.
I don't know. Let's see. I think the other, besides Arnold, who's probably the most, you know, imitated voice in show business, it's fun to just see Danny DeVito again, I thought. You know, he hasn't been around in ages. And then at the time, I didn't know it. And even if you would have asked me, I wouldn't have known that that was Kelly Preston, who, you know, John Travolta's wife, who's
right
in the movie. So that I thought was,
I think I had some sexual awakenings watching Kelly Preston in this movie.
The first time, or just
every time?
Every time.
I know Kelly Preston's been in other stuff, but I couldn't name anything. This is it for me. Twins, and she's John Travolta's wife. That's all I know.
She's in Jerry Maguire with Tom Cruise.
Oh, right. She's the girlfriend, soon to be ex, right?
Correct.
And she won the Raspberry Award for the worst supporting actress in the film Battlefield Earth.
Oh.
Yes.
I wonder if that was the introduction to John Travolta, after which they got married.
I don't know. I have to figure that out. It might be the other way around. Anyway, what did you guys think of, you know, going back and watching this movie again?
Sean, do you want to start, or I can?
Well, can I start without having watched the movie again?
Wait,
I have a pretty good memory for this movie. I've seen it multiple times.
You didn't actually watch it?
I have not watched it again. No.
Oh, you suck.
All right. Well, with that,
I told you, goals, homework. I mean, come on. I can give you my overall impression.
When's the last time you saw this movie?
Probably 10 years ago.
Oh, you've seen it since? See, I have not seen it since I saw it in the theater.
Exactly. I haven't either. I think I saw it in the theater and then I never saw it again.
Yep. But I want to hear.
Which is why I had to rewatch it, because I couldn't remember it at all.
Oh, no, me neither.
Other than the basic premise that you could get, you know, from the title. So.
But I mean, medically, are they twins? Are they? Can you throw a test tube together and then call that a fraternal twin?
Well, yeah. I think they talk about it, that they created Julius, Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, and then Danny DeVito just kind of like eked his way out of there and kind of split off and was all the gunk, you know, as they say.
Yeah, I think they're trying to show that in the opening sequence with the cells dividing and that.
Yeah.
That it's an actual true twin, and he's just the crappy part of that. I like that it takes six men and one woman to make the perfect person. At first, that might sound sexist, but it's actually just the opposite way around, I think.
Yeah.
Six parts of six men, but only one random woman.
Right.
The perfect person to work.
Right.
All right, here's my favorite thing, and we'll go back to what Sean says, but I have to put in my little after-the-factoid that the mom in the opening sequence is not credited, but it's Heather Graham, who, of course, later on becomes Roller Girl. So that was, like, the coolest thing to find out.
Because, so you think of Heather Graham as Roller Girl?
Well, yeah, or Austin Powers.
Yeah.
I still think of her as Mercedes from... License to Drive.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Which is a terrible movie. I mean, it's just got awful, but for some reason, that's
so that movie's next, obviously.
For some reason, Heather Graham, I don't know. That's why it just always stuck with me.
Okay. I think
even when I saw her as Roller Girl, I thought, hey, that's the girl from License to Drive.
Didn't they hand out posters for License to Drive?
Yes. We got them.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we saw in the theater. Is that one of the ones? I don't remember who I saw that with.
I'm pretty sure it might have been all three of us, but I know Sean was there and we got free posters.
I feel like that's right. Yeah.
So free anyway,
stuff.
I
remember free stuff.
All right, twins.
I want to hear Sean's version of twins, having not seen it in 10 years.
Okay, all right.
What you think of it?
All right, I'll give you the salient point.
I'm very curious.
He breaks out. He has a really nice life on the island. Then he breaks out. He hulks his way on a inflatable boat off the island.
You don't have to.
Are you describing Commando?
For the mainland. What's that?
I think you're describing Commando. He doesn't break out.
Yeah. And then he tracks down DeVito, who is a deadbeat, who rolls out of some woman's, he's philandering with some woman. He rolls out and then picks up with him. And DeVito tries to scam him for most of the movie. And it turns out that, you know, they have something to offer each other. And then, Kelly Preston's in there. He discovers microwave lasagna. I mean, what else?
Okay, music. Right there. That really frustrated me because I was like, if Arnold knows how to dismantle a car alarm, how can he not know what a microwave is? Like, he's staring at that microwave like it's something magical. That to me was like one of those.
He's a genius who's read
flaws.
Like every book. He speaks 12 languages, and he has no idea what a microwave is.
Right. They had a lot of chefs on that island.
Yeah. So your memory of it is positive. Do you remember liking it? Did you always consider it to be a good movie?
I think so. Yeah, at the time, I certainly liked it.
I remember liking it, but after rewatching it, I did not enjoy any of it much.
Yeah.
It's not very funny.
Mm-hmm. I think that
Danny DeVito tries really hard. He does. He's trying pretty hard. He's working overtime to get eke some laughs out of this, but it's not good.
$5 million.
$5 million.
Yeah.
That I would say that I'm in between you two. I think that it was fun to go back and watch. I don't think it's a very good movie. It's not one that I'd be like, oh, like this one I have to show to other people or tell a lot of people about it. But at the same time, it's like there's a lot of garbage out there. And this maybe comes in at about like a 6 out of 10. Like it's totally watchable. It has enough amusing moments. And maybe there's like nostalgia, like I said, for the kind of like the characters. But it's not a great movie.
I had also totally forgotten about the sort of the MacGuffin in the trunk construct that kind of dominates the subplot of it, where Danny DeVito steals a car that just happens to have a state-of-the-art fuel injector in the trunk that some rando dude across the country is going to pay $5 million for. So he decides to
hitman guy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. And he has loan sharks after him. So, right. You know, it's convenient that his long lost twin is Arnold Schwarzenegger, because he kind of beats everybody up at one point.
Right. Arnold does take his shirt off a lot. In
he does. Yeah.
For a movie that has almost no action in it.
And is. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. He never does a Kindergarten Cop, does he? He's like fully clothed.
Yeah, I don't think so. Same director, incidentally.
Yes. Yes, it is. Danny DeVito gets his shirt off too, so at least.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. That's great.
Sweet.
Is this a movie? This is one of the things that I thought we should talk about. Is this a movie that should either be remade or have a sequel to it?
Well, they're apparently making a sequel. I was just reading about it yesterday I've heard rumbles, rumors about it for quite a few years on the internet, but apparently, supposedly, they're making a sequel called Triplets, and the third long lost sibling is going to be Eddie Murphy.
Sure.
So I don't know. I mean, I've been hearing this for like 10 years now. They've been talking, someone's been, you know, they being the internet has been talking about that there's a script out there and blah, 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 blah.
I think you could also remake the movie. I think that if you change the pacing, added some jokes, you could have, this could be like a Jack Black could step in a role of Danny DeVito, no problem. And you could get The Rock to be Arnold's role, or, you know, that this is something that I think that, you know, you made reference to the MacGuffin, but this totally follows the Hollywood script. Like this movie is set up just like the, you know, the Save the Cat books sort of, you know, by the numbers plot that you can't help but like in some ways, you know?
Sure.
So it's totally set up for being remade or redone.
Yeah. The pace is slow though. I mean, it's, isn't it nearly 2 hours or something?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, if you look at the official runtime, it's, what is it? 107 minutes. So just, you know, 50 minutes shy, 2 hours. But that's definitely too long for this. Yeah, I found myself having a hard time staying awake, but I mean, that happens no matter what I'm watching these days.
Okay. Well, I watched most of this movie while I was on the Stairmaster. So I can tell you that any movie you watch on the Stairmaster is like 2 or 3 times more enjoyable than if you were just sitting on your couch and watching it.
Yeah, you're releasing all those endorphins.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, you're depending on it to distract you from you know, the fact that your legs are going to fall off, and you don't even want to think about that once you're 45 minutes into the movie. So yeah, it did that. It entertained enough. All right, a couple little more factoids that I found out. That Jeff Beck is the guitarist in The Bar. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll admit it.
That fact,
you'll just have to trust us. It's cool.
It's cool. I believe you.
Okay. Quiz for you guys. What movie do you think Arnold Schwarzenegger made the most money on in his career?
Well, I think I know the answer, but because I looked it up.
I'll give it a crack. Total Recall.
Good guess. It was this movie, Twins.
Yeah, it was this one, yeah.
Whoa.
So here, just a little factoids here. The film was made on a budget of $18 million. It made worldwide $216 million, But Arnold and Danny DeVito both agreed to, instead of taking their usual salaries, they both agreed to take 20% of the box office take. So it was a total gamble on their part. They each got over $43 million for this movie.
For twins.
Yeah. They should have had twins too, like the next year, you know, like whatever it was. Like if they were gonna do it, they should have done it then, because that's insane.
Well, they wouldn't have got the same deal. Insane in today's numbers.
No, okay. I know, but still, it's crazy.
Yeah,
you know? DeVito was probably busy doing Throw Mama from the Train or something.
Right, but I mean, if you think about it, when you talk about low budget movies and returns, you know, obviously like Paranormal Activity and things like that are the huge ones, but 18 million 200 to a 216 million return. That's a super successful movie for a movie that we all agree is, you know, mediocre at best, you know, and that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Can't argue with that. I'll try, but I can't.
So, are there any things in this, you know, one of the things that I think makes a movie stick kind of in culture is if people go back and quote it. Like I'll still quote Austin Powers, you know, 18 or 20 years later. Is there anything in this movie that you remember as a quotable quote?
Well, I think I already gave you mine. Not during this show. Okay. DeVito starts with, over the lips, past the gums. Do you remember how it ends? See if you get
watch out, memorable. Stomach, here it comes.
Yes. So, I mean, that's magic right there.
The only line I could remember was him singing "Yakety Yak, Don't Talk Back," and I couldn't remember if it was that or if it was Kindergarten Cop. Nothing in this movie ever stuck with me in that regard. I don't think. Even now, after having just watched it, I'm not sure I could think of not just a quotable line, but just a line to quote.
So I told someone I was watching this movie, and they said, "Don't cast aspersions at my family." I'm like, "What?" They're like, the gangster says that. I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "How do you remember that?" And I watched the movie, and it came out when the guy with the gun shoot, you know, is at Danny DeVito's house, and Danny DeVito's long gone, and the other henchmen show up, because they're
brothers, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, who would remember that? Like, no, this movie is not a quotable quote movie. And the Yakety Yak song, because I was like, who made a rap version of Yakety Yak?
I think we lost you there for a second, Sam.
Oh, I was saying how it was incredible. You missed it, but it was... No, I was saying that the Yakety Yak in the movie, the version that we heard was done by Two Live Crew. I had to look it up because I was like, I watched the credits because I was like, who did a rap version of Yakety Yak?
Perfect.
The other thing, okay, I don't expect Sean to remember this. If you do, I'm impressed.
Uh-oh.
But this movie had three quick references to other movies that were out at the time. And and one of them was really famous because it's Arnold's buddy that he makes a little joke at. Do you remember it?
Arnold's buddy? No, I'm blanking.
Cohen, you got it.
Wasn't there a Sylvester Stallone thing?
Yep.
Like a Rambo cutout or something. I don't remember exactly.
Rambo poster. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I do remember
Arnold
that.
Arnold flexes his arm and feels his own arm and looks at Stallone and shakes his head.
No. Right, right.
So in the credits, Stallone gets a thank you for that. And then when he first gets into Los Angeles, Arnold walks past the movie theater and Willow is playing.
Oh, right.
The 13th is playing.
Right, right.
So thought that was amusing.
Nice.
All right. That's all. I think we beat this movie to death.
Well, so that villain guy that has the $5 million item jet engine thing, he looks really familiar. I know he's in other stuff.
Well, I remember. Yeah, there's a couple people in Total Recall and Twins.
Yeah, he's
Quato.
Yep.
And then there's the woman. There's the woman in Twins, and I can't remember who she played, but I only remember that she's the doctor at Recall who goes, "Cause we haven't implanted it yet." Yeah. He goes, "You dumb bitch." Acting out his something or other, and she goes, "I'm afraid that's not possible." And then he says, "Why?" "We haven't implanted it yet." Anyway, she's someone in Twins. I just don't remember who.
That's pretty good that you could remember.
Yeah, I can't think of the Twins reference, but that's so. You said those two were
in Twins as well, and I thought there might have been one more, but I might be just losing my mind a little bit. Total Recall would have been a few years after this, right? Or was it before? That's what I'm kind of curious about. One thing I didn't look up and I don't remember specifically is what sort of the bookends around this movie were for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, what was he making right before it, and then what was he making right after it?
Total Recall is 1990.
Okay, so that was after.
That's a good question.
Well, hold on. Let me take a quick look.
All right. Just as another thing I have to mention while you're looking that up is that when the opening credits came on, the costume designer was Gloria Gresham, which you'd be like, who cares? Yeah. And the only reason it's important is because this movie came out in 1988. And in our English class, we had someone with the same last name. And so around the same time, I remember like, is there a relation? Of course there isn't. But then every time I'd see a movie and see that name, I'd be like, oh, it's the same woman who ended up being the costume designer for A Few Good Men, Kindergarten Cop, Misery, Ghostbusters 2, The War of the Roses, When Harry Met Sally. I had to look this up because another movie I watched pretty recently, which we probably will review at some point, was Midnight Run, and she also did that. Anyway, I thought it was amusing that this one person was a costume designer for so many movies in a very, very short period of time, like a 5-year span. It's like 10 different movies. I mean, I have no idea how costume designers work or get their job. It just seems like a lot of things. So what'd you find out about Arnold?
All right. So it's interesting. He, you know, Terminator was his big breakout, right? He had done the Conan movies before it, but Terminator was a big breakout. And then he did Red Sonja, which nobody remembers. Commando, which I love, but probably no one else does. Maybe you guys do.
Very quotable.
Yeah, very quotable. Raw Deal, which is just terrible.
Yes.
But then he did Predator in 1987, which I think someone could probably argue is one of his best films, at least action films. Up there with Terminator 2 and True Lies. And then he did The Running Man, which is terrible. And then he did Red Heat, which is one of his worst movies.
Why is Running Man terrible?
Because it's really terrible? What do you mean? It's terrible.
Running Man is very divisive.
It's very divisive.
Like, people I've talked to really like it, and I'm like, what? Or think it's one of his best movies.
I like
putting that down as a future review.
Yeah, I mean, I like the premise, but like the costume design and the dialogue is goofy, and the effects are terrible. There's one that would probably benefit from a remake with a decent budget and a good script.
But based on a Philip K. Dick story, it needs more Philip K. Dick.
Well, The Running Man's based on a Stephen King story.
Stephen King. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
But, I mean, they have the only similarity is the title. Am I remembering that right? That's a Stephen King story, right?
It is a Stephen King story. It's in the book with the three stories, three short stories. I can't remember which one it is.
After Running Man, he did Red Heat, which is memorable perhaps only because James Belushi, I suppose, is kind of funny in it. And then he did Twins. And it makes me wonder if Twins wasn't a sort of a gimmicky ploy to kind of get his sort of box office star back on the rise after a couple of pretty major duds. But maybe not.
I can't remember Red Heat at all.
He plays a Russian. I don't remember if he's a military officer or like a police officer. I don't know. But he's chasing a Russian. Yeah, he's chasing a Russian mobster, and he a bad guy. He comes to the U.S. Chicago specifically, and he gets paired up with Jim Belushi, who's like a Chicago cop. And so it's, you know, it's sort of a 48 hours esque, you know, buddy cop movie where the cops don't get along.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that on the list for future reference. Yeah.
I mean, it has a few moments here and there. Jim Belushi's actually kind of funny in it, I suppose, if you like him. But otherwise, it's pretty forgettable. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he does his best to do a Russian accent, but I mean, it's an Austrian accent. I mean, they just say he's a Russian, so we buy it. Like, oh, yeah, okay. So it sounds, you know, to you know, whatever, 15-year-old me or 14-year-old me, I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Because he doesn't sound American, so to me it's all the same.
That's why his nickname is Dutch in Predator, right? Close
right,
enough.
Right, close enough, why not?
Right.
But then immediately after Twins, or not immediately, but then the following next film he makes is Total Recall.
Wow.
And which I also consider to be a bit of a classic. And then Kindergarten Cop.
Well, and Total Recall is one of the better ones.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I mean, you could probably, I've never really compared them, but if you really look at his movies and compare who the directors are, that's probably the, you know, I mean, that's often true of any actor's sort of filmography, is who the director is, you know. So like Terminator, he's remembered because of James Cameron. Red Sonja, who knows? I don't know. Ron Dill, who cares? But Predator's John McTiernan, who made Die Hard. You know, Total Recall's Paul Verhoeven. Terminator 2 again.
Who made Dreamgirls?
Paul Verhoeven?
What did Paul Verhoeven make besides Total Recall? I don't remember.
Well, he did RoboCop.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Pops to mind. But what did you say? Dreamgirls?
Yeah. Remember that terrible movie from, 1990, whatever?
I do not.
Isn't that, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong name. Oh, shoot. All right, now I got to go back and figure it out. Anyway, go on.
I am totally lost track of what I was
saying. You were just saying that, the directors and actors have similar career paths or something like that. Well, not exactly.
Like you take a lot of actors and you look at their best movies or most well-received movies, and chances are it's because the director was good, you know. And if they're bad movies or you didn't like them, there's a pretty good chance because the director wasn't very good or somebody you never even heard of or, you know, whatever the case might be.
So whose fault is it for Twins then? Is it Reitman?
Well, that's a good question.
Showgirls, not Dreamgirls.
Showgirls. Yes.
Terrible.
Yes.
But he also did Basic Instinct.
He did Basic Instinct. He did Starship Troopers, which is a fucking masterpiece as far as I'm concerned.
It's nice.
And Hollow Man, which is terrible, but Black Book is fantastic.
I haven't seen that.
It's really good.
We can't review it. It's too late.
Yeah.
We're trying.
It's too late.
75 in 1999. It's 206, but I'm still putting it on my list.
Yeah.
Movies to watch.
Anyway.
Did you see that?
Oh, what?
Well, I was going to ask if you saw L.
Oh, no, I did not. I didn't see that one. My movie watching has dropped off steeply over the last couple of years, but
can't imagine why.
Still clawing back up every now and then. Being able to rent anything from home really helps. But getting back to Ivan Reitman as the director of Twins and who's responsible, I would say that Ivan Reitman is a curious director, actually, because most of his movies are terrible. If you look at his filmography and you see his first few movies, you're like, oh, but that's awesome. He did this and he did that. Yeah, he did Ghostbusters, he did Meatballs, he did Stripes. But then after that, he didn't really direct a fairly watchable movie other than Dave.
Dave.
And, you know, Kindergarten Cop was fine, a little slightly better than Twins, I would say. But after that, you know, oof. Junior, another Arnold Schwarzenegger collaboration, that's terrible. Father's Day, 6 Days, 7 Nights, Evolution, My Super Ex-Girlfriend.
Six Days, 7 Nights.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie with Josh Hartnett, I think, when he was popular for a minute there. But otherwise, yeah, so his best movies are, you know, his first couple, really. I mean, he did some other stuff no one's ever heard of before, Meatballs, but Meatball Stripes, Ghostbusters. I mean, once he's not with Bill Murray, then he's making garbage, basically.
That's very true.
Yeah. And well, I mean, he did do Ghostbusters too, but I don't know if I'm in the minority, but I really don't like Ghostbusters too.
No, me neither.
I consider that to be up there with Caddyshack 2 and Blues Brothers 2000. Ugh. Just horrible sequels to fantastic comedies, you know?
I mean, Bill Murray is still funny, but it's that you can't redo Ghostbusters at all.
Right.
What did you think about the new Ghostbusters?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I guess I enjoyed it. It was sloppy and weird, you know, like, and it felt really loosey-goosey and haphazard and ill-focused, you know, like the first Ghostbusters is pretty tight for what it is, you know, and the remake was just all over the map.
It was a little, kind of effects heavy with.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I it was amusing here and there. I found myself laughing, but when you take those small moments and string them all together and look at it as a whole, to me, it was pretty much a failure.
Yeah, and with the funniest people you can imagine in that movie too.
Right. Yeah. And it was funny. It was funny because of them.
Yes. You know, exactly. Like,
no, I don't think anyone read that script and went, "Ha ha! This sounds really funny." I was chuckling throughout. They're like, "Well, all right, it'll do." we've got the best female comedians right now. They'll make it work.
Right.
Yeah. Thor was pretty funny too.
He's pretty funny. But also, I mean, also no human is that stupid, you know, and like still living. I mean, like how does someone like that not walk out of the door and get hit by a bus? It's impossible. But yeah, I mean, he's charming as hell, obviously, he's, you know, fun to watch. He's got good timing.
He does, yeah.
I mean, that's why Thor Ragnarok, I think, is up in like top five Marvel movies, is because it's so funny. Like, who knew Chris Hemsworth could be that funny, or that a Thor movie could be that funny?
Right.
And I know I've talked to people who don't like it because of that. They're like, oh, it's a comedy. I'm like, well, so that's what's wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, that really changed the whole. Not to get into the Marvel thing, but that really changed the tone of things.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And see, I give Chris Hemsworth extra credit because then he went and did that Rush movie in which it's a more serious role. I mean, still he's kind of a goof off in that, but but it's he does a great job. So it's like, to me, to see him go and do the Ghostbusters remake and be an idiot and all that was just like, it's like, hey, this guy can actually act. He doesn't have to be the same person every single time.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen any movie he's made after being Thor, other than Ghostbusters. Because I know he made a few. He made one called Black Hat, a Michael Mann movie I never saw. He did Rush. I never saw that.
You should see Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His nemesis is the villain from Captain America Civil War.
Right. Right.
So, I don't know.
I remember that. And I think that's a Ron Howard movie, right?
Ugh. Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Ugh, God.
It does not detract from it.
No?
Get over it.
Are you sure?
He doesn't snap it up like he usually does. Not really.
No.
It is a good movie.
Damn. All right.
It's a car racing movie. So for me to say a car racing movie is a good movie means it has to be a good movie because I care less about car racing.
Well, how about this? So to answer me this, better or worse than Days of Thunder?
Oh, it's way better than Days of Thunder.
Bullshit. It's not possible. Days of Thunder rules.
Oh, man.
Well,
I mean, maybe not.
There are turns in the track in Rush anyway, because it's Formula One racing.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And you know what? We're probably giving them a pass because none of us have probably seen Men in Black International.
No, I have not. I've heard nothing good, though.
So I guess he's getting a pass there on that one. So back to Ivan Reitman.
Right, Ivan.
His son has had a pretty good career.
Yeah. True. He's made a few good movies, and supposedly they're making, not supposedly, they did. I just read it today. They wrapped on Ghostbusters 3 with the original cast.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they just wrapped today. Or yesterday, I don't know. I read the news today. original cast plus new cast. Paul Rudd's going to be in it. I don't know who else. I forgot. But Jason Reitman's the director.
Interesting. And so Ivan was the producer for Up in the Air, even though Jason was the director. So I'm sure there was some teaching going on there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Sean, any more thoughts about this movie?
Well, I just, I'm so thrilled that we are reviewing mediocre movies. It's just
great. Dedicating the entire hour of our lives to talking about really not very good at all.
What age can you start watching this movie?
Ooh, I mean, even the sex scene is pretty, tame. Or
yeah, they don't really show anything, do they?
Yeah,
nothing. It's not nothing. Consistent.
It's nothing. They lay down.
It's like a kiss, and then it doesn't it cut to them like laying in bed with the, he's all googly eyed.
Yeah, exactly. like that was it. I think these were the themes of the movie. The like, doesn't everyone wish they had a twin brother, and doesn't everybody wish they had a guy they could kind of be like, what, you've never danced with a girl, you've never kissed a girl, you've never been with a girl, and kind of coach and watch that happen. And at this age we're that person, and at the young age we wish we were the Arnold Schwarzenegger, be like, oh my gosh, Arnold's never been with a woman either. I guess it's okay that I'm 15 and no one likes me.
Oh, sorry. It's an uneven trade, though. I mean, DeVito is like giving him life lessons, and
yeah, but they're terrible lessons too.
They're
though.
Terrible, easy lessons. Schwarzenegger is beating people up and saving him and giving him this great life, and yeah. All and right. At the end, you remember $5 million becomes $4 million.
$4 million, right?
Yes. That last little joke. Yes. Yeah.
That was pretty funny. I chuckled at that. I'll admit it.
So I guess that's our best moment.
But the scene where they reunite with their mother and they all realize who each other are, because they meet once and she doesn't believe it, doesn't tell them who she is, says she's dead, their mother's dead. But then later she sees them on the news or something and goes and seeks them out. Their reunion is, I don't want to sound too cynical, but Jesus, I mean, it's rough. Because there's very little dialogue. She says yeah, it's me. And then they, again, googly-eyed is the best way I could describe it. And then Danny DeVito licks his lips strangely and says, mama. Yes. Almost like a baby trying to get a bottle. It's so odd.
I think that's why he did it.
Yeah?
It was to imitate being a little kid. He's like, mama.
So weird. Okay, and then Arnold Schwarzenegger basically does the same thing. Mama? And then they hug. And that's all right. That's it.
And if she knows they're her twins, why does she show up carrying one teddy bear?
Ah.
She's a
jerk. I just thought that was weird.
Major plot.
All right.
Major plot.
Sean, what movie are we going to review next?
Coming up next, I think, is Roadhouse.
Oh, we're doing Roadhouse?
I think. I don't know.
Or The Princess Bride.
We can flip a coin.
We'll figure it out.
That's it for this episode. Stay tuned for next time.